Do you realize that the Lord Jesus Christ is not seeking or working to bring his own people out of the world, but to keep the world out of them? I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but that thou shouldst keep them from the evil. These are the words with which the Lord Jesus Christ refers in his great high priestly prayer in the 17th chapter of John. In these words, he indicates what he really wants to accomplish by praying. This is what he really means to do. I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but that thou shouldst keep them from the evil, is the way in which it is put. In this whole chapter, chapter 17 in the Gospel of John, we have the prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ unto God about his disciples. Now, the Lord Jesus did much more praying than anything we have any record of. There are times when we know he spent the whole night in prayer, and there's no time we have any lengthy prayer reported of him. This is as long as any. This one we have here in John 17. And yet a person could go through and say the things that are in John 17 and say them in just a little bit. You wouldn't have to take hours, as he did, and so on. So we do not know, actually, all the things that he mentioned, all of the ways in which he put in his time when he was praying and waiting upon God. But we do know from this 17th chapter that he does pray extensively for his people. He is concerned for them, and he prays for certain definite things. And here we have, in chapter 17, beginning at verse 15, we have a further development of what this servant of God is actually praying for, what the Lord Jesus Christ is actually praying for, so far as his outlook upon his people is concerned. I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but that thou shouldst keep them from the evil. Then verse 16, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Now this is the basic reason for the prayer. This is the basic reason for the whole expectation to keep the world away from them, because actually they have no part in the world. Verse 17 brings this out too. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Now the word sanctify means to set apart. Set them apart for thyself. Keep them just for thyself, because in the things that I'm saying, the Lord Jesus is saying, I'm saying the kind of things that will take them away from the world. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. In this whole passage here, and in these several verses, it becomes increasingly clear that the Lord Jesus Christ sees his disciples in the world as strangers and pilgrims, and he is not expecting them to share in the things of this world, although he shares with the people and actually has fellowship with them, seeking to win them, as I say, unto thee. Perhaps it would help if one would just consider all the people in any given community, or perhaps the people of your own acquaintance who might be gathered together in a congregation, and they're banded together as Christians, and they're worshiping God. So far as the world is concerned, how shall they feel about it? I think it would be helpful if they thought of themselves as a ship in the ocean. If you stop to think of it, people travel across oceans, but they sail in ships. They build the ships, and then they sail them. And you know that if a person's going to do any extensive work, it's very important to have a good ship and to make sure that this ship will withstand the rigors of the sea voyage. That's a way of going around the way around of saying something like this. The ship in the ocean is safe just as long as you don't let the ocean get in the ship. Now, you can have the ship in the ocean, and that's a normal, safe procedure. But you get the ocean in the ship, and disaster is sure to come. Now, so far as Christians are concerned in the world, for the Christian church to be in the world is of itself not necessarily any harm to the church. But if, in association with the people of the world, it should happen that worldliness should creep into the Christian experience, and the worldly matter should be recognized in spiritual fellowship, even in that particular church, you have just as it were sprung a leak so far as the church is concerned. You're letting the outside world get in, and disaster is sure to come. And this is what we see when we see the emphasis, the way it is put in here. The way when the Lord Jesus Christ, in the way in which he sets this out, is actually saying, I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but that thou shouldst keep them from the evil. Saying, in effect, I am not asking you to take this ship out of the ocean, I'm just asking you to keep the ocean out of the ship. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. The ship is not part of the ocean. The ship is sailing on the ocean, but it's not part of it. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Keep them set apart by thy truth. The truth is the kind of a means of protecting them from the world that's round about them. Now in verse 18, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so also have I sent them into the world. Now the Lord Jesus Christ was sent into the world on a mission. He came into this world to do something. He didn't come into this world to enjoy himself. He didn't come into this world to make anything big out of himself. He didn't come into this world to get rich or to become famous. And as we often say, he painted no picture, and he wrote no book, and he built no empire. He invented no machine. He led no armies. There's nothing so far as this world is concerned that the Lord Jesus was actually sent to do. But he did come for one thing, to seek and to save the lost. And he did come to reconcile men to God, and this he has done. This is what he came to do. The Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Now the Son of Man came into the world then to seek and to save the lost. Now, he says, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. We might think of it something like this. When you received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you actually accepted him, you then, right then and there, you became a child of God. And God would count you in with others as belonging to him. Well, now, have you ever wondered why it is that the Lord God, having called you to himself and saved you from the world, why doesn't he just take you home? Why doesn't he right then take you out of this present evil world and take you right into his own presence forever? The truth of the matter is that God has other people here he wants to win. He has other people, wayward people in the world he would like to win, and the only way to win them is through those who have already believed. And so if you come before him as you are, believing in him, trusting in him, he will not only save you and keep you, but he will send you into the world that you should be a witness, that others might come. And this is what he does for them here. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. Then in verse 19, and for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. The Lord Jesus is the head of the body, himself set himself apart to the task. He committed himself to this one thing deliberately. And as members of his body, we find we share in the task, and that's what we're disposed to do. Now notice verse 20. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. And you know, in the margin of my Bible, I have written words like this. Here we come in, because here the word is definitely for us. Many people might say that this whole portion of the New Testament was written by men who lived back there in that day and time, telling what it meant to them for them to meet the Lord Jesus Christ and to see him. But here is one verse that goes beyond that. Here is a verse that indicates that the man, that even back in those days, and the Lord Jesus Christ himself very definitely had in mind those of us who would come along later and how we would be affected by the things that had happened. So here he says, neither pray I for these alone, that is those disciples round about him, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. And I know I'm one of those, and I expect you are one of those. If you're a Christian, that's where you will be. Now look at in verses 21, 22, 23, and 24. In these verses comes one general big idea, that they all may be one. Now this is not externally unified by fitting together external independent pieces and making them come out even. No, this is inwardly. They'll be unified from within by the one Holy Spirit that is within them and the one Lord who is their head. And this will actually affect them all. We should consider ourselves like branches that have been grafted into a tree. Now, we may have been the wild olive branch, but when we were grafted in on the tame olive tree, we became a member of that tree. So with adopted children and a family. A child may have lived elsewhere for some months or years, as the case may be, when all the arrangements have been made, and we move on to where we adopt the child. When we adopt that child into our family, we make that child one of our own. We give it our name and give it all the rights and privileges of being a member of the family because we have adopted that child. This is the idea that comes out so far as we are concerned. But here and now, we want to just notice that they all may be one. In verse 21, you will see that this is what the Lord prayed for, that they may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they may be one in us. In verse 22, the Lord offers to share his glory. The glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one. In verse 23, you'll see that the Lord shared all things with us, I in them, thou in me, that they may be perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. And in verse 24, the Lord wanted them to share in the prospect, Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. For thou lovedst me before the foundation of the world. So the Lord Jesus has prayed for his people. Winding up, finishing his prayer in verses 25 and 26, O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee. The world did not appreciate God, but I have known thee, and these have known. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Our God and Heavenly Father, grant that this great purpose of the Lord Jesus Christ might be worked out in us by drawing us nigh unto thyself. For thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.